Good afternoon. About a week and a half ago, Pastor asked if I would preach a 20-minute sermon for today's afternoon service. I said yes. Pastor isn't here. Is it okay with everyone if the sermon is less than 20 minutes? I thought so. Pastor also said, perhaps something on the topic of Thanksgiving. Imagine that. We just had a feast, and most of us will have another on Thursday. So, shall I talk about turkey and tryptophan, in the bird versus out of the bird stuffing, sweet potato casserole versus pumpkin pie, Ready Whip versus Cool Whip? Food has definitely become part of Thanksgiving, probably because of the so-called first Thanksgiving. Google AI says the first Thanksgiving was a harvest celebration in 1621 between the Pilgrims of Plymouth Colony and the Wampanoag people in what is now Plymouth, Massachusetts. After a successful first harvest, approximately 52 English settlers and 90 members of the Wampanoag tribe shared a three-day feast of venison, fowl, shellfish, and the Pilgrims' first corn crop. It was a celebration of the harvest and a moment of cooperation and alliance between the two peoples, which was made possible by the help of the Wampanoag people, particularly Squanto, in helping the Pilgrims survive their first year. The event was not a yearly tradition at that time, but is considered a foundational event for the modern holiday. Google AI mentions food, but of course doesn't mention God. A governor of the Plymouth Colony at the time, Edward Winslow, wrote a letter to a friend in England shortly afterwards the first Thanksgiving, describing the event. He wrote, "Our corn did prove well, and God be praised, we had a good increase of Indian corn." A little later, he writes in the letter, "The Indians went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor, the captain, and others. And although it was not always as plentiful as it was at that time, yet by the goodness of God, we were so far from want that we often wish you could partake of our plenty." And then a little later, he writes, "This I thought these things would be good for you to understand, being the truth of things as near as I could experimentally know, in that you might on our behalf thank God who has dealt so favorably with us." Mr. Winslow's friend apparently intended to come over to the colony from England, for Mr. Winslow concludes his letter thus, "I forbear to write further for the present, hoping to see you by the next return. So I take my leave, commending you to the Lord for a safe journey to us. Resting in him, your loving friend, E.W., Edward Winslow." In this letter, we see Mr. Winslow's acknowledgement. I'm sorry. I was also healthy when Pastor asked me to do this. I'm going to have to get my water. In this letter, we see Mr. Winslow's acknowledgement and thanksgiving to our God, from whom all blessings flow. Well, 168 years after the first Thanksgiving, on October 3rd, 1789, President George Washington issued a proclamation designating Thursday, November 26th as a National Day of Thanks, the first Thanksgiving Day designated by the national government of the new United States of America. As a brief summary, Washington declared that the nation needed to be thankful for God's care of the nation before it was a nation, thankful for God's providential care in the Revolutionary War, and thankful for God's wisdom and guidance in establishing the new constitutional government. The opening words of the proclamation, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor." That was the opening of his proclamation. Sadly, I wonder what the vote would be in Congress on that proclamation today, but that's all I will say about that. The second paragraph begins, "Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks." So, this coming Thursday, we have Thanksgiving Day. I already mentioned food, and there's family. Then we have the modern holiday, as was mentioned previously. It is said the busiest travel days of the year are generally the Sunday after Thanksgiving for air travel and the Wednesday before Thanksgiving for road travel, as people travel all over to visit family and then return home. And of course, nowadays, there is football, and then Black Friday. With all this activity, how about we remember to focus on Thanksgiving? That is, giving thanks. Giving thanks to who? Almighty God, as President Washington said, the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. God, whose name is I Am That I Am, God who was, who is, and who always will be God, the unchanging good God. Giving thanks for what? We should thank God for his temporal blessings, but we should remember they are temporal. There are people in the world that don't have the temporal blessings we have, and they might be more thankful than we are. I suggest this Thanksgiving that we focus our Thanksgiving on eternal things, spiritual things. Let's do that with the words of George Washington, the good that was, that is, or that will be. In the beginning was God, preexistent in three persons, the author of all good, because he is infinitely good, perfect and infinite in all his divine attributes. For his purposes, he created a universe and all that that entails: time, space, matter, force, physics, math, cosmology, geology, chemistry, biology, zoology. Some details are given in Genesis chapter 1. "Then in his own image, God created man, and it was all," as we read in Genesis, what? Good, very good. But man rebelled and brought a curse upon himself and all creation. Even in its fallen state now, creation can still show glimpses of glorious beauty, which we can thank God for. But man's rebellion did not catch God by surprise. He did not have to come up with a plan B, for there in infinity past, in the pre-existent triune God, before anything was created, was the Word, the Son, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, as we read in Revelations 13:8. And as we also read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation or way of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Even before God created the people that would need it, the plan of salvation was in place, a plan to reconcile fallen, sinful man to his just and holy Creator, a plan to propitiate the Creator's righteous and infinite anger. And God told Adam and Eve of the good to come in Genesis 3:13, the first messianic prophecy. We read this biography of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, under the law, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. We who have confessed Christ as our one and only Savior can thank God that way back there, before the universe, God had chosen us for salvation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Listener, watcher, this gift is for everybody, but you have to take it. If you have not come to Christ for salvation, today is the day. The Bible says so. This plan was the good that was and still is. As believers, we experience the good that is. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We can thank God that we have been adopted into his family. But we are more than adopted sons. We are joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are Christ's, and Christ is ours. In John 17, we read from Jesus' intercessory prayer for his disciples in verse 9, I pray for them. But in verse 20, we read, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Is Jesus praying for you? Something good to be thankful for. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Is this something good to be thankful for? Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is this something good to be thankful for? We could go to many other passages about the good that is, that we could and should thank God for. We should thank God for the good that will be, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 1 Corinthians 15:54, 55, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is this something good it is to be? Something to be thankful for? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Is this something good to come to be thankful for? We have so much to be thankful for. Every day is Thanksgiving Day. Paul says so. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. People often struggle over the concept of God's will for their life. Well, the first part of this verse and 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, make it clear God's will for your life is to pray. We are to continue in prayer. Prayer is not optional. The word continue in the Greek embodies persist, constant, steadfast, diligent. Norman Geisler says prayer is vital to one's spiritual health as breathing is to one's physical health. Prayer should be continual. Colossians 4:2 says we are to watch in prayer. The watch in the Greek means alert, aware, vigilant. Geisler, again, in his praying, a Christian should be watchful against spiritual drowsiness caused by attention to the world. The second part of verse, Colossians 4:22 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, make it clear, God's will for your life is to be thankful in everything. Being thankful should always be part of our prayers. Being thankful is part of Colossians. Paul opened the epistle by giving thanks for the Colossians, as he often did in his epistles. And just a few verses later, Paul is thankful again. In verse 12 of Colossians chapter 1, we read, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, which of course speaks of salvation. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, speechless, wordless, unmatchable gift, salvation, which is where we started. So every day, and especially on Thanksgiving, may we thank God for, as George Washington said, all the good that was, that is, or that will be, and may we then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks.